Good morning, Gloucester. It's Joey Schumataro. I'm flying with one guest today, and I'm going to say one word, and I'm going to let you try and guess. I'm going to give you 5 seconds afterwards to guess. Effervescent. Now, who could that be?
Mr. Effervescent.
There.
Good morning, Gloucester.
he chimed in. He ruined it. Oh, Toby's here. Toby's here, and it's a very, very icky day.
Cool. This is cool.
Overcast. It's been like this for 4 days now. 3 days, 4 days.
Well,
northeast wind.
It did give you a day off.
Well, I got a half a day off. I didn't get a full day off. And I had to do stuff in the afternoon for the business, so it really wasn't a day off. So, yeah.
Well, relatively speaking.
Yeah, I'm just compared to our normal day down here. It wasn't really. So, we got a little bit of stuff to talk about. This is a kind of a bonus podcast midweek for Slow Down the Dock today. And
always a bonus spending time with you, Joe.
Bona podcast. Yes, it is. The first thing I wanted to talk about, I got chewed out this morning. Not chewed out, but I got called out on my muffin eating. And this is confectionery muffins we're talking about here. Not any other kind of muffins. We talk about hot. Yep.
Go get a blueberry muffin.
Someone hands you a muffin.
Right.
They put it in your hand. Do you break off chunks of the muffin, or do you eat the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, when I eat a muffin, most of the time I just dive right in. I just take it in my hand and put it up to my mouth and eat. I know there are those that will insist that what you have to do is hold it in one hand and break pieces off with the other, but that's not my style.
Okay, I feel I feel vindicated right now because I thought I was being a Neanderthal, but apparently I'm not crazy that's the way I eat my muffin.
Well, you know, I think everyone's muffin tin is a different size, and I suppose if I had one that was large enough, I would feel a need to break off parts of it. But generally speaking,
yeah. The only time I break off pieces of the muffin is at Last Stop Variety when they have the oval pour muffins, and the muffin top kind of comes off the side and it gets a little crispy, and you can just break off a little piece there and get a little of that nice.
You want to savor that little
sugary part on the top, where they have they use that big coarse sugar and it sits up on top there. You want to get some of that.
But who
makes the best muffins in town?
I don't know. I don't know that I'm a fair judge. I'm not much of a muffin guy. I do love, as I've said on the podcast in the past, I do love a good donut.
Oh, you would take a muffin over a donut?
I would not. No.
No, I'm saying you'd take a donut over a muffin.
And the type of donut I love the most is an old-fashioned plain donut.
Yeah.
They're fried. It's just, I don't know, it's something I had in my youth. It's
not too sweet.
Oh, it's definitely not too sweet.
Right, so it goes with your coffee, nice.
Perfect. I don't use sugar or any sweetener in my coffee, so, right.
So, if you give me a choice between a donut and a muffin, I'm going muffin most times.
It's a big world, Joe. There's room for both opinions.
I'm going to say my favorite muffins in town, I think I'm going to go. I can't even remember having a muffin at Willow Rest, but I imagine any kind of muffin they made would be awesome. But the muffins that stick out in my mind and spend for like the last 20 years, and the one of the things that they really kept up at Last Stop Variety was the awesome muffins that they had. So I would say Last Stop Variety certainly has awesome muffins.
It's interesting when you say that. I mean, we all get into habits. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when I go to certain restaurants in town, I had this discussion with somebody. When I go to certain restaurants in town, I almost always order the exact same thing. It's not because I'm stuck in a rut. It's just that I don't necessarily go out to dinner every night. So when I go to a certain restaurant, I may not have been there for weeks and weeks and weeks. And what I'm missing the most and really looking forward to when I go there is a particular dish. Yeah. So I don't know. I like I said, I like certain I like old-fashioned plain donuts when I have that kind of item. I'm not a muffin guy.
All right. Have you got your flu shot yet?
No.
Oh, the way you said that, I'm nervous. Are you one of these people that are not going to get refuse to get their flu shot?
I don't refuse to do anything, Joe.
This is what I'm trying to get at. Do you normally get a flu shot?
No.
Okay. And is the reason behind it any kind of like voodoo science, or you just don't feel like going out of your
it's
way?
It's no
to get
voodoo
it?
Science.
Okay.
Or any other kind of science.
Yeah. Just out of sheer.
Whatever. I mean, I'm sure that Paul Morrison and others could present me with pages of documentation as to why I should do certain things. I don't have little kids. I don't have grandchildren. I'm not in and out of a lot of those environments. I try to wash my hands all the time. And
but do you are you one of the people that believes that the flu shot is actually bad?
No. I don't do that. I just don't think, perhaps as much as others, put myself in the environment where I need
in harm's way.
Yeah.
I think with the invention of the internet and social media, I think like this voodoo science of these like one doctor that might have a big audience or something says something, and then it just spirals out of the way, out of control. You know, like. And, you know, I think people can make convincing arguments for just about anything. And if you don't really know the science behind everything, you just end up, it becomes this urban myth or something like that. And I feel like this whole, like, not getting a flu shot is one of these urban myths.
Joe, you've got what, an 8 and a 9-year-old?
No.
How old?
7 and a 9-year-old.
7 and a 9-year-old. They're in schools, they're in environments where they're constantly being exposed to other kids who are sick, so they never get away from it. And you're with them all the time, and so if I were in that situation, I think I'd try to find every possible defense I could to keep from getting sick.
Well, they got them, there's free flu clinics everywhere. You know, I constantly get press releases from the city. You know, they're sponsored. You don't even have to pay. The insurance covers it. It's like,
I get it.
I feel like you're crazy not to get it. But, you know, some of these people say, I got the flu shot and I happened to get the flu weeks later. So it must have been because I got the flu shot. So I'm never going to get a flu shot again. And
that's not my purpose. Like, maybe after having this discussion, I'll reevaluate and go get one. I just,
no.
You know, like I said,
the people that go, it's not the people that are like, the people that don't get it because they're lazy don't drive me as up a wall as much as the people that like deny that are like using this pseudoscience to try to justify that it's not good for you or something.
That's not me.
Yeah, I got you.
That's not me.
Where do you fall on the whole Jeter Love Fest in Boston with the making of Fenway Park baseball caps with the Jeter pinstripes on it and the reception that he got and the merchandising that the Boston Red Sox franchise did with Derek Jeter's number and his farewell tour.
You think they made some money off of it?
I don't begrudge them to make money at all. I don't begrudge anyone to make money on stuff.
Do you think thought process for them was, okay, we've got a situation, let's capitalize on it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't begrudge them for that. What I begrudge them for is, like, I can't stand trying to dumb down, or not dumb down, but like, what? This is our rivalry. This is, like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I still.
And I say he's a classy guy. I don't hate Derek Jeter. I love the example that he set, other than not being so selfish that he wouldn't move out of his position. And like everyone says, he was the second best shortstop on the team and wouldn't move out of that, you know, for longer than he should have moved out of that space. So I don't understand why Boston felt the need to,
They honored, last year, they honored Mariano Rivera, who basically invented the position of being the closer. And he was a classy guy, and I thought they did a great job honoring him when he retired from the game. Derek Jeter, I mean, was basically been a classy guy, the captain of the team that, you know, our rivals. I don't know if they overdid it and went over the top, but I think it is fitting and proper that they found a way to honor him. If you don't like the love fest, if you think they went over the top, I understand your argument, but I still think it's important that they honored him. And
I don't mind them honoring him, recognizing him, the whole like being a good sport. I just don't see how you have to go. Like when they created baseball caps that said Fenway Park with the pinstripes and fucking number 2 Jeter.
You're upset.
I think that's crazy. This is a rivalry. There's a it's just another example of us.
Well, I think it was fitting soft. And proper that they had things like Dustin Pedroia giving him a base from Fenway Park for him to keep.
How much crap do you think that guy get? You know what I mean? Like with the whole tour and everything else. Do you think that stuff really means anything to him?
I do.
Oh, Jesus. It's just another... I don't know where I'm going to put all this stuff. We're going to build a shrine to himself. He lives in New York City. Where's he going to put all this stuff?
No, he's got a huge home, like in Tampa. Huge home.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Have a big...
All right, look. You are of one opinion. Yeah. I'm of a slightly different opinion. There are a couple others out there.
He wasn't classy in the way he handled himself, the way he played the game and everything, but it bothers me
I get it.
Anna and James Eves, they have some kind of thing that they're trying to go for, the Chase Mission Main Street Small Business Grant. They will award 20 small businesses with a $150,000 grant. The first step of the process is to get 250 votes on their website. And voting is done through Facebook. I put it on the slider at the top of the blog. So if you click through that, it's as simple as a click, and you can really help out a couple of awesome
people
that do a lot for the community. I know personally that they do a ton of stuff behind the scenes that you don't even hear about, helping other people out.
Plus, a great number of the artists around Cape Ann mm-hmm. are totally dependent upon them for what it is that they do. Mm-hmm. So if you like a lot of other artists around Cape Ann, you may not even realize that they've had their hands in putting that package
together.
Getting
votes. I know. I saw the post before EJ had even done it because it was scheduled. So I can see what people have scheduled before that it actually goes live on the
blog.
Good
people, if you have not stopped by and
there was only. I think there was only like 6 or 7 people that had voted, and the day we put it, we went over 100. So they're on their way. They just could use a little extra help.
By the way, for those of you out there in podcast land who don't know what giclée means, it's just a fancy French word for inkjet printing. But they do framing and other things as well. But that's what giclée means.
There you go. Any good meals lately?
Oh, you're talking about at home or meals out?
Local restaurants that people should know about. Local meals at local restaurants or local food products that are grown or made here that people can get.
Well, the farmers market Thursday night had some fabulous stuff as usual and always.
You went?
Really? I often stop by, but it's a quick hit in out.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's not a social event for you.
No.
Okay. So what were some of the big hits there for this week?
No, I just sometimes I stop there to resupply myself, to restock myself.
What were some of the things?
I mean,
I
love those pickles that are produced in Salem are just they're worth every penny, and they are the Maitland Farms.
Maitland Farms.
They are treat. They're made in Salem, and they're great. We've talked about other local people here as well, and it's great. I mean, like I said, when I go to the market, going to the market is not a social experience for me either. I go in, get what I want, and exit. Same thing with the farmer's market. So that was good. Did have Eric, our friend, down at Passports did put the pork a la Tijana dish on this past week, and he does a particularly spectacular job with that. And yes, I did have some of that, and I'm so glad that I did. That's a marinated pork butt and shoulder done with all kinds of other goodies.
The Jardinier. The Jardinier.
And
I always thought it was called Gardenia.
No, Jardinier.
But I think in Italian, I think they call it Gardenia.
I think if you looked it up, did one of those wiki lookups, it would tell you that. But whatever.
I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask Joe Virgilio or the guy, or the people down at Scalfani's. Well, next time you're in J Pace, I guarantee you they sell it there too.
Yeah, I mean, what Joe's referring to, if the people don't know, it's sort of a pickled vegetable.
Cauliflower.
Yeah, but it's pickled vegetable.
Carrots, onions, baby pearl onions.
Out of a jar that you can sometimes enjoy with a meal that has a very thick sauce, and it helps because it is pickled. It helps to cut through that or balance it off. So it's great. The Alla Tijana is always fabulous. Other than that, no, I haven't been. I like the fact that the weather has turned. I tend to do more cooking at home, which you might avoid because it puts heat into the house.
Have you had an apple pie? Have you made an apple pie this year?
I have not.
Have you made anything with apples yet?
I have not made anything with apples, no. But I made some banana bread the other day, which came out great. I made some carrot cake the other day, and both of these are essentially from scratch.
And none of those are fall foods.
Well, but again, I don't do that kind of baking in the summertime because it tends to heat the kitchen up, heat the house up, and that makes it uncomfortable. I try to cook outside as much as is possible. And so my baking tends to go from the fall, when the weather starts to turn and get cooler, through the spring, and no apple, I'm sorry.
I was just looking for harvest kind of food things. I think, is Tossfield Fair this weekend?
I believe it starts this weekend.
I think it starts this weekend. And the other thing I wanted to mention, the pick of Gloucester for people, the mile marker one and the bridge, and I don't know if they have another partner on this. I think Marshall's Farm is another partner on this at mile marker tomorrow from 11 to 4. It'll be on Saturday from 11 to 4. They're going to have, I think they call it the Autumn Fest or the Harvest Fest. And it's I went to the Strawberry Fest with my girls, and they have farm animals, a bouncy house, they have all kinds of fun stuff, and there's a lot of local merchants selling their wares.
And if it's raining,
they have a tent. Okay. So it's I think it's on unless it's a hurricane. I think that it's pretty much going to be on. And my girls had a blast at this event
in the spring.
In the spring, it was actually more of a summer thing. I'm going to say that would be the pick of the weekend for me. So if people want to go to that, I would highly recommend it. I think it's 11 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. There's all kinds of stuff. Well worth it. I think there's also beer tastings and stuff. All kinds of stuff.
Not just for a parent with child.
No. Anybody could have a fun, good time at this, I believe, yeah.
Okay.
The food at Marmarker is pretty good. Mile Marker, I told the guy to get me a press release. He didn't get it to me. But, like, they're having $5 burgers on Thursday.
I saw the sign.
You did see the sign?
Oh, because
you drove that way? They're doing all kinds of promotional things. And I talked to Chef Ron, the executive chef over there. And he said they're basically, they want to make sure that their help, they can keep their help busy. And they're not going to make any money on the food for the next couple months or whatever it is. He wants to make sure his help has stuff to do,
right?
Which is nice, you know.
Smart.
Yeah.
You know, I did see the sign, and you know, relative to your question, your previous question about whether or not I'd had any interesting meals and all, I don't think of it that way. But I had a friend who called me. It was not a planned connection. A friend of mine who lives down in Rhode Island. He's a craftsman. He works on yachts. And Tom called me up, and I said, okay, we're going to have lunch. And I took him to the causeway.
Oh, okay.
For all the stuff that we...
This is your regular guy that you meet down the
causeway? No, no.
Guy. Okay.
A totally different guy.
Okay.
So totally right. different guy.
Yeah? What'd you get?
I had chowder, the fish. Which is hard not to have there.
If I get that, though, the problem is it's lights out. I can't get anything else.
Well, that was it. I had a salad, a Greek salad with it. He, of course, had the baked haddock.
Yeah, which, that's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Right. Another no-brainer. So, I mean, I don't mean to disparage them in any way by not mentioning them as memorable meals, but it's an automatic. It's one of those places that when you go, that's what you have.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's the hot corner over there in West Gloucester between Mile Marker and the causeway. You guys,
so I mean,
I saw them have a couple viable options over there. You know, the thing about Mile Marker and that whole complex, in the middle of the winter, that pool, I probably wouldn't think about going there right now, but like by February when you're really just
cabin fever, right? You got to get out. You got to do something.
It's a great take. It's a great take to to be able to go there. They have food in that with that pool, and they have, like, you know, it's bar food basically over there in that section of the thing with like nachos.
But you're happy just to.
They're happy just to kick back, do some kind of physical activity, get in the pool. The pool's heated and everything. It's nice and clean. Good spot. Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
are you looking forward to some? Are you past? Because I know officially fall just started.
Right.
But are you looking forward to enjoying fall? Or are you on a mode where you would just rather fast forward to winter and snow?
I know it sounds trite, but I truly like living here because I enjoy all four seasons. Mm. If there is an aspect that I do not care for is that the days get too short too fast. I mean, I'm one of these people that I like it when the sun comes up at 4:30 in the morning and stays light till 9 o'clock. The short days are not my favorite.
You know something? I used to be like that, but I like to go to bed early because I get up so early for work, obviously. And I don't mind that it gets dark so early because I don't feel guilty like getting into bed. Like if I can get into bed at like 8 o'clock or 8:30, like I like to be able to get into bed at 8:30, and I don't feel so bad that it's pitch black and I can just bundle up underneath the covers.
It's not whether or not it's cold. What I'm saying is it's the dark.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was commuting to my job sites a few years back when I was working for the construction company. I mean, leaving from the house in the pitch black, driving to the job site, getting at the job site, it's still pitch black. And when you're leaving at the end of the day, it's pitch black and you're driving home. It just was not pleasant.
Once day after day, it's, you know, ugh, like
was
you
not pleasant.
Free time.
Not for me.
Do you know what the name of the guy is that owns the Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth?
I do not, but I know who he is because I helped a couple friends of mine who do have pellet stoves, and they bought them from him and had him do the install and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I got to get over there and see him.
Okay.
I got to get over there and see him. No, not because I'm going to get one, but I got to do some... I'm totally intrigued and fascinated with the technology and which talk to him about the pros and cons of wood versus pellet versus bio brick versus all the different things.
I remember we had some discussion to that effect.
Yeah, but I want to get into it more with the head guy because every time I went over there, it would be the worker, and the worker always like, oh, you should talk to the main guy. I got to meet up with the big guy, and I want to do like a 4-part series of the pros of each different system.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you do it early enough, I would think he'd want it. The blog gets 50,000 to 80,000 hits a day. I mean, that kind, you can't buy that kind of advertising.
It's different all the time. But yeah.
But I mean, think you're a little tired. That was a big yawn, Joe.
It was a big yawn. I'm tired. These days get me tired. Slow down the dog today. Well, you know why I'm really tired? Because I got up at 3 o'clock this morning because we had to do the bait truck this morning.
Nice.
And the bait truck, once again, the guy came. So this is the scenario. So we got about six of the pallets off, and I could hear, you know, we use a pallet jack because it's, let's see, each barrel probably weighs close to 500 pounds. So you get four. No, they're probably a little less than, so there's 100.
The pallet jack's in the back of the truck?
It's in the back of the trailer truck.
Right.
So there's four 55-gallon drums of herring on each pallet.
1,500 pounds or more per pallet.
Probably right around 1,500 pounds. That's probably a good estimation. There's, whatever. Give or take a couple hundred pounds. So he gets on and we start taking off. Start, you know, lugging these things out. It's hard enough when you have a fully functional pallet jack to get these things off. But I hear like clink, 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 clink while we're getting the first four or five off. Now, I know this sound because it's the same thing with the fork truck. It's bearings that are cooked on the wheel bearings. So that
you know the sound.
The clinking noise is the bearings on the hand jack, which means once one or two get loose and fall out of the wheel bearing, that means
you're done.
You're done.
Right.
You're stuck in the water. So we struggled for another four pallets, and when I say struggled, that means you're giving 100%. You're on the verge of blowing out your shoulders, you can't get any traction in the bottom of the trailer because it's filled with, it's all herring juice. And it's just slick. It's a slick, you know, aluminum.
Yeah, you're trying to move these pallets from the nose of the trailer back to the tail so you can grab them with the fork truck.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're trying to offload.
I'm just trying to paint the picture.
Right. No, thank you for that.
The listeners.
Because I'm assuming that they understand what we're trying to do.
So
you're trying to get them out from the middle of the, at this point, it's the middle of the truck to the end of the truck. So Frank can pick them up with the fork truck and put them in the cooler.
Right.
So that the boats will have bait for the week. And it just.
It died again.
That thing died again. So
why you're tired.
So that's why I'm tired. So that between getting up at 3 for that, and then what should have taken us like an hour and three quarters took us like.
So for all of you that love Joey, give him a hug right now so he feels better.
There you go. All right, we're gonna end it right there. Another Gloucester Cast, people. Is in the books. That's a little bonus one. Half hour. That's short and sweet.